Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Dr. Anthony Levinson. He's been working with dementia and has created a very interesting and informative website called iGeriCare. How would we know when we need to reach outside for help? What kind of safety strategies should we have when we're dealing with somebody with a mental illness like dementia?
Well, I think it's really important to try to reach out to get help as early as possible. There may or may not be medications that may be helpful, or I guess what's often important is ruling out that there might be some other medical cause that is contributing to the symptoms. So very important to connect with a health professional, have a proper assessment, and receive a diagnosis. And then, you know, that also enables the care partner and the patient to do some planning. You may need some planning around management of health conditions or finances and safety strategies, like making sure that, you know, somebody is assessed about whether or not they're medically safe to drive, for example. So I think getting medical advice and supports, there's some outstanding supports across the country through the Alps Alzheimer's Society and provincial and local chapters, but connecting with a health professional and seeking out and getting better understanding of the illness and what community resources and supports are available is important, and probably the sooner the better from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Are people with dementia usually fairly tired, seeing as the brain takes up so much energy and the brain isn't really functioning?
You know, that's not often a common complaint, and again, it does depend a little bit on the various causes of dementia, but even though the brain does use a lot of energy and we sometimes find, you know, we're exhausted if we're, you know, thinking hard or concentrating, fatigue in and of itself isn't one of the characteristic symptoms for dementia. More commonly, we would see things that relate to cognitive functions or brain functions. Classically, problems with memory, especially short-term memory, losing track of dates or forgetting appointments or people's names and what's happened throughout the day. And then other changes with speech and language, maybe having trouble finding the right word or replacing one word with another or forgetting and stopping what one's saying in the middle of a sentence, either because you lose the train of thought or you can't find the word. Some people will have problems with their visual spatial abilities, and they may get lost in previously familiar areas or have a lot of problems with driving or even walking, can bump into things. And then we call executive functioning, which relates to the ability to organize and think abstractly, to sort of problem solve or handle more than one thing at a time. People with dementia, their executive function and problem solving ability can often be overwhelmed because of the changes to the brain.
Mm. How difficult is it to diagnose dementia?
Well, there's screening tests that are sometimes done as the preliminary thing. So people might have heard of the mini mental status exam or the Folstein. There's another one called the MoCA. And these are sometimes done in primary care assessments. They're not diagnostic tools, but they can help to guide whether or not there may be some changes to some of these cognitive functions, and then somebody would then go on to take a more detailed history and diagnostic assessment. A lot of the diagnosis does come from taking a history and finding out about these various cognitive issues and how long they've been going on and how they're impacting on the person's day-to-day life and relationships. And then it's very important, as I mentioned, to assess and rule out that there might be other medical conditions causing some of the cognitive issues. So often the physicians or the other health professionals doing the assessment will do a physical examination. They may want to order certain basic investigations and possibly some brain imaging studies, basically to rule out that there isn't some other cause or to see if the brain imaging may suggest a specific cause for dementia.
And it would be interesting to see that brain imaging on a regular basis, like year after year, seeing what's actually going on as well.
Yeah, I think the, you know, the concern with doing sort of regular investigations or tests, unless there's sort of good evidence that it's going to change things, is that it might just make people worried for no reason, or, you know, unless we have very, very definitive assessments or treatments, just you could pick up things on a brain image that might not be diagnostic. So we tend to do this as part of a focused assessment. And most of the tests, like a CT scan of the brain or an MRI, are to try and assess whether there's something else going on that does have a reversible or a treatable component. But it can also be helpful to rule in some diagnoses. So if you see on an MRI a number of small strokes, it might make you think that it's more likely that a vascular dementia might be the underlying cause.
And if it's vascular dementia, could we do something to just help with our vascular elasticity to help the whole issue?
Well, for sure, that in part, if you look at some of those lifestyle factors that I was mentioning earlier, like exercise, you know, keeping and managing blood pressure, those things relate to blood vessel health, and that's probably one of the ways in which they can help to reduce the risk of stroke. Or if you have had strokes, you know, looking after your blood vessel health, looking after diabetes to reduce your risks of blood vessel-related cerebrovascular disease, those things can probably help to either delay the onset of cognitive changes or maybe even prevent vascular dementias in some cases.
Okay. Statistically, when you look at Canadians now, we've got all the baby boomers aging. Do you see that there's going to be a lot more dementia?
Yes, it's estimated that while there's, say, over half a million people now living with dementia, estimates have said that that number will grow to over a million, you know, in about 15 years as the population continues to age.
Are we ready for it?
I'm going to go with a most likely not. I think that in Ontario, we've recently sort of launched a bit more of a dementia strategy, and the federal government is now looking at more of a national dementia strategy in part because we're recognizing that we're really not all that well equipped to handle it. We're a lot of health professionals are not well educated in the management or the diagnosis and management of dementias, and I think as the aging population needs more services, caregivers need more respite, the importance of having this national dementia strategy is only going to increase as the number of people affected by dementia continues to increase.
Could you give us the spelling for your website?
For sure. iGeriCare, iGeriCare, iGeriCare.ca. And, you know, I guess speaking to your point about are we prepared, Dr. Stramko and I found that, you know, we wanted to do more to better educate Canadians and in particular family caregivers about dementia. And we hope that the you know, people take advantage of the iGeriCare.ca free open access website and some of the other educational resources like our live events through the site.
And you have live events on a regular basis?
Yeah, we've been doing monthly live events with question and answer, either with myself and Dr. Stramko, or we've also had other healthcare experts there. We've covered a wide range of topics, including things like falls in dementia, medications, management of difficult behaviors, and as I mentioned, on Wednesday this week at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Wednesday, May 29th, we'll be doing one focused on the stages of dementia, and you don't have to register. You can just join the live event, but if you go to the iJerryCare.ca website, you can also sign up for an email notification and reminders, and we also have email-based ways of getting content about dementia for people who want to subscribe to that format as well.
Thank you very much. It's a very well laid out website and very easy to use. So thank you so much for sharing with us today and for all the information you've put out on the website.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Okay. We'd also like to thank our producer, Alan Wishart, and we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that carry our programs. Have a healthy and happy day.